Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
You're locked into the 2-2-2-2-Pro-1-Slow podcast.
Right, welcome back. Episode...
Oh, I'm not actually playing the intro.
No intro. Bills. Like I said a minute ago before we started, it's not on here. It's on the computer because we haven't got a new intro because we haven't got a new sponsor yet.
Still no sponsor. Ed's playing hard to get.
He's
playing hardball.
I've been chatting away to a few people. But anyway, as you'll notice, we're not in our usual spot.
We're not selling out. Fuck the system.
No, we're in my office at the minute, but we're also not going back to the workshop. We've got a studio space now.
New studio on route. We went yesterday and checked it out and made some plans and did some interior designing. And Ed's got some upholsterer hard at work making some cool shit.
Yeah, we're busy. So that will be coming at some point.
Reinvesting in your viewing pleasure for those of you that tune in via a visual platform.
Yeah, visual. So that is one of the reasons why we've been pretty quiet over the last 2 months. You'll probably notice as well.
Tommy's not here. If you hadn't realised, Tommy's not here. Tommy that constantly whinges that I'm away, so we can't do anything because I'm away. That isn't here because he's away.
Now he's gone to Spain. So. We thought we might as well take this opportunity to get something out for you.
We'll do a proper one, get some high quality podcast while he's not here, is what we actually thought. We'll do one properly that is going to get, you know, good reviews and might actually pull a few sponsors in while he's not here before and being miserable and moaning and negative and turning all the brands away from work. So we'll put a positive one out there. He's going to be so upset when he listens to that. Yeah, we'll put a positive one out there. We might get some sponsors and try and keep them once he returns.
Yeah, well, that is one of the reasons why we've been quiet. And the other reason is you've been on a bit of a media ban, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I was... technically, I didn't really stop podcasting. I just wasn't here. And then that's why I was silent. The silence has been booked. Ban sounds very severe and sounds like I'd done something wrong or it was all very serious. But anyway, if you hadn't realised that... The vlogs are back. I'm back on YouTube. I'm back on Instagram. Not that I was really hiding. I just, for some reason, everything happened. Although not a lot really changed. I still ride for Husky. I just got a little bit more freedom to do my own deals with some sponsors. And because there was some other stuff going on with the team sponsors and a lot of bits and bobs going on, everything kind of just happened late in terms of deals and sponsors and press releases more than anything. So... because I was away in South Africa, also it meant I stayed in South Africa longer than I was planning because the Super Enduro of Israel, which was meant to be the 10th of January or something around that, got postponed till March. So that means the first race was actually last weekend, which was the first weekend of February. So I ended up staying in South Africa longer, which delayed being able the availability of getting photographs and doing press releases and bits and bobs like that. So everything was just late. However, now everything is press released and official and done how the corporate people like to do it. So we're back to just being able to video what we want, talk shit. And
do you want to clear up a lot of confusion? Because there's so many people that say in your current blogs and in your comments and still can't work out why Rockstar would sponsor the Supercross team, but not everyone else.
Yeah, so that might as well happen here because I am sick of seeing them comments. Although they're not that stupid. A lot of people probably just, you know, didn't know how the ways of a lot of things work. But basically, Rockstar was a team sponsor anyway, for me and the whole of the Husky team. It was never anything to do with me personally. And then about halfway through last year, Rockstar got bought by Pepsi. I don't know if any of you know. I think this is public knowledge anyway. Rockstar got bought by Pepsi and new ownership and... people leaving, new people coming, whatever. They decided there's a problem or some think that wasn't right with the distribution of Rockstar in Europe, which Pepsi didn't like. So they're currently trying to resolve that and do that. And obviously, because they're not in full control of the distribution or something to do with that, they're now not sponsoring
any kind of sponsoring anything in Europe. Well, that's what I've kind of heard through various bits and people. Everyone kind of has their own little take on it, and no one's entirely sure. Anyway, at the end of the day, it doesn't really affect me massively because it was a team sponsor anyway, and stuff like that. But I think the way it works in America is different. I think it's kind of almost, although it's the same brand, it's kind of run as a basically as like two separate companies. I think, I don't really know. They're continuing in America, only in America, but for the whole American team, enduro, motocross, supercross, everything. And then in Europe, completely separate, completely free, nothing. There was talk of it coming back. I don't know. Who knows what'll happen? Maybe they'll come back next year. We'll see. It kind of, like I say, it doesn't really affect me anyway, either way. So
I was, well, the one thing it does affect you with is now your bike's got a blue frame rather than a black one and a load of white. But we was, when we, what, for the purpose of this podcast, I'm going to pretend I haven't spoke to Billy for 3 months, but I actually have. And when it first came out, it we weren't that keen, were we? But no, now it looks cool.
Yeah, for the first Super Enduro, I actually used the blue frame, even though I wasn't supposed to, just to make Stan's life easier. And then after that first Super Enduro in Poland in December, he changed everything to white, to this new look, and we got sent some pictures then, and I wasn't really keen at all. And then after some time to reflect and then seeing one in person and stuff like that, I actually really like the new bike. I think it's quite a clean look. Mm. White looks good. I will say, though, I watched some of the videos and pictures from Tong at the weekend, and when it looks dirty, I feel like it looks like in an indoor or whatever, when it all stays clean and nice and fresh, I think it looks really good. But when it looks the white with mud, yeah, and stuff like that, it's, I don't know if I prefer the black to that. But in general, just as how it looks and stuff, considering how much I wasn't keen on it at first, I actually really liked the bike and the setup. And
it changed a bit, didn't it? Because from the first things that Stan showed me, it's now a little bit different. And then when the Dakar launched, it was like...
Yeah, they changed it a bit. The back mudguard, I think, wasn't blue at first, which I think I actually quite like the colour of the back mudguard, and I think that goes quite good. And I quite like the blue seat too. I think it works quite good.
Yeah, I like it.
So, yeah, quite a few changes, but I also kind of like it, really. It's more... like on brand for Husqvarna, really, as opposed to being black and white. Like Husqvarna's colours are blue, white, and a little bit of yellow, which it kind of all meets. It's more of like a traditional Husqvarna vibe.
So, other than Rockstar leaving, is there anything else different in the team? Because it seems to me that you're using most of the same stuff, same parts, same sponsors.
Yeah, well, I guess the team sponsor is the same. I had to sign a new contract at the end of last year, and got a little bit more freedom in my own deals. So I got freedom to kind of choose boots, helmet, gear deals, which is why you've probably noticed boots, helmet, and goggles stay the same. But I am with a new gear company called S3, which you've probably seen, or different kit to what I have been and stuff like that. That's obviously all new. Kind of, it's a new venture for them too, I guess. The trials guy, probably most of the NGO people have heard of them, the motocross people probably haven't, but it's basically a Spanish brand that was predominantly doing trials. It started making a few NGO products over the last couple of years, but kind of sees the growth in the NGO market and the hard NGO market, and wants to get involved and get amongst it. So I've obviously known them for a lot of years due to riding trials and stuff like that, and it all kind of lined up perfectly, really. I wanted to stay with kind of my existing sponsors, but boots, helmet, goggles wise, I was pretty happy. I think 100% City, Aero, kind of probably the up there with the best products of the categories out there. So I was more than happy to kind of renew with them. And then, yeah, the gear opportunity just was kind of perfect timing. Really, they wanted to make a push. I kind of had some freedom and choice to go wherever I want. And there's a lot of advantages to it. Like all of the gear, so 90% of the stuff is made like on site at the factory in Spain, so there's like a real short turnaround time and stuff like that. A lot of flexibility in terms of designs or products and stuff like that. We're working a lot. It's all kind of just prototype stuff I'm wearing at the moment, which they're going to bring out hopefully later this year once we get a product that I'm happy with. But so far it's been really good. Like I say, super fast turnaround times. Like I'll give them some ideas, or we did some like initial measurements and stuff like that, and talked about materials, stuff like that. They had a prototype ready, which I tested, and then give some feedback like the same day. Then the next day we had like four different models ready to test, and go from there, really, which is, it's cool. It's quite new for me. I've learned quite a lot already. Like it's quite enjoyable, really, to to start testing other stuff rather than just the bike. And it's crazy, like, the difference is, like, Ed obviously knows quite a bit from the pants, but, like, stretch material, how it works, and you change one panel from stiff to stretch, and then the whole fitment changes dramatically, then how that feels, and it's quite cool. I've found it pretty interesting, like, and already from the start, it was, like, a usable product. We're just obviously trying to make it as best it possibly can be.
Are they going to let the creative things inside your mind come out onto the gear at any point? Because at the minute, it's very Husqvarna.
Yeah, no, we're keeping Husqvarna on board at this moment in time. We're going to push the boat out slightly. That's where the restrictions would probably come by. There's obviously requirements, and Husqvarna, being the size it is, has brand requirements and stuff like that. But to be honest, I'm slowly but surely working quite a few people from the corporate world onto my side, and they're kind of like they enjoy my thought processes and where my ideas are coming from.
What the beauty, I think, is I'm not tied into any gear deals.
Yeah, so Ed's free to go. We're going to go wild.
So we'll go wild on some kit for me if it works.
I've already primed them to tell them there's wild ideas coming. It's been kind of a rush. Like I say, I stayed in South Africa longer. Just I wanted to make the most of the free time and enjoy myself down there. So everything was quite a bit of a rush to get ready for these first couple of races. I think once kind of the Super Enduro's finished and there's a little bit more free time to... And we've got probably like a finalized product or a product, like the product we're going to use for the majority of the year. I think we're going to continue evolving and stuff like that and trying to make stuff better. But yeah, once we've got something that's, you know, a solid base, then we're going to start pushing the boundaries a little bit. And whether it might not get approved for Husqvarna to go racing with, but I think we can at least do some mad shit for some vlogs and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. We need an old style kit to match the 610.
Yeah, no, we need an old school style stuff for like a retro video. There's all sorts that we can do, but like I say, that was one of the selling points, really. Like it's literally Ed can flick his mouse about on Illustrator, and then 2 days later we can have a fully made set of kits. So it has a lot of advantages, and like I say, they're super motivated and want to push into the market. So I'm really happy with how things are going. And even for now, like the first designs are all just kind of fully within the guidelines of the Husky rule book and stuff like that. And it all still looks pretty sick to start off with. Really, I'm pretty happy with how we're looking and how we're feeling, and seem to be going fast so far in these first couple of races. So
yeah, no, it looks good. I mean, from what you sent me, there's not really been a great deal of design, well, not gone into it, but yeah, it's been pretty tame, and it to keep Husky sweet from the get-go. Leading on from your gear, what's the plans on the helmet? Is there anything going to replace the black helmet, or...?
Yeah, again, everything was quite late. Aero was the last deal to be finalised, so it was like a mad rush to just get something. I got some plain black ones, then Husky said, oh, we want you to wear this one for now. But no, I do have, I don't want to reveal too much, but there's more than likely going to be a replica Aero helmet coming at some point. Again, no further plans have been made. We've just been rushing to get ready for these first few races, really. But there will be some intensive design discussions going on, I'd imagine, across the board. But I couldn't put a timeline on that at this moment in time, to be honest. It's like just been getting ready for races. But no, there will be hopefully a bit more spice coming to the helmet.
What else has happened? Obviously, you've now not moved to Spain permanently, but you're spending a lot more time in Spain.
Yeah, so I'm in Andorra quite a bit of the time. I've got my residency there now, which is good. I think since Brexit, it's been quite well. No one really knows what they're meant to do with spending time in Europe on a British passport. Everyone's kind of pushing the limit of the 90 days. No one really knows what they're meant to do in return. And I'd been thinking about obviously moving to Andorra. A lot of the hard enduro guys are there anyway. Kind of Johnny, Manny, Johnny, Mario, Alfredo, Taddy. And I think more are probably going to come in the near future, just because of it's a cool place. A lot of kind of bike riders, motorbike riders, a lot of things to do, a lot of activities. There's decent motocross tracks, you know, not too far away.
You don't get the weather like we've got today, though.
And just, I came home for this week. I did the British round of it at the weekend and thought, oh, I'll stay. It's my sister's birthday this week, so I thought I'll spend a week at home. I'll ride a bit of motocross. Yeah, hang out with the boys a little bit. Yeah, ride a bit of motocross.
We had big plans today, by the way.
Yeah, I fucking forgot about that.
Tell us about your big plans.
We're meant to be going to Matt Jones's today, as we discussed on the podcast when he was on. It'd been in the pipeline for months anyway. I said, oh, I'm home this week, let's do a day. Ed said Tuesday. I said Tuesday works, that's good. I had some other plans for another video Thursday, which, looking at the weather, is also looking touch and go.
No, they cancelled that.
No, not yet, but I'm just not convinced. And anyway, I've just been here one day and it's just raining non-stop, and it's forecast 100% rain for the next 3 days. This time of year in England. And it's been good for the last 2 weeks. I've been sat at home watching. Well, not at home. I've been sat in Spain. Still happy. I can't complain. The weather's been good there, riding, whatever. But looking at videos of everyone riding here, I think, England looks good at the minute. I thought, I'll go back for the week after the British round. Fucking pissed down every single day.
And Tommy's gone to Spain.
Tommy's gone to Spain this week.
Timed it perfectly.
Obviously.
But yeah, so we were supposed to be going Matt Jones's today, and Bill was going to attempt some mountain bike trickery.
Yeah, we're going to do some few triple tail whips.
Was he going for the
triple tail whip, double back flip?
Bill fancies himself as a mountain bike rider.
I fancied a knuckle bounce front flip on the airbag. I've seen them do that.
Yeah, I've seen a few people do it as well, but never land it successfully.
Have you not? Oh, they only put the successful ones in the videos.
Oh, right. Well,
that was us fancying a knuckle bounce front flip. But nah.
Well, our other day on Thursday is also a mountain bike day, but that might not go ahead either. So,
looking at the weather, it's a bit of both, a bit of motorbikes, a bit of mountain bikes. It's quite. We were just tagging. Well, it was a video, and I was going to. Well, anyway, we'll see what happens. If it happens, it happens. You're going to see it. Mm. Hopefully, it does. Make the most of something from this fucking week of being stuck in the rain. I might even have to attend the gym at some point this week. The weather's looking that grim.
I thought we were going for a game of squash after.
Yeah, that's not a gym, that.
No, no, gym. It's like a big competition. You talk highly of yourself.
We will play squash. I am fucking the boys. We've got no rackets, though. Are they allowed to rent?
Yeah,
Rent rackets again? Is that COVID rule gone now?
COVID's gone. Now,
yeah, finished. COVID's gone. Boris has been in trouble, so he just let everyone out. So we've got no one wants to be angry at him anymore. Yeah, we are going to play squash later. Like, squash is
big, isn't it?
Yeah, it's. I like it. It gets a lot of aggression out because you can just hit the ball as hard as you want at the wall. It's good for me. I like it a lot.
I've got a bit of news of my own, really, and it's sort of for you as well. You've got
merch restock. Have you been checked it out?
Well,
yet?
You've got merch on your head, but big changes at Kex actually now. If you have been ordering since just pre-Christmas, you might have noticed, you might not, but the return address has now changed. We are...
No one's obviously going to have noticed.
No, no one's obviously going to notice. We're now running out of a 3PL, which is a third-party logistics warehouse. Vince from Client Commerce, good man, speak to him most days, he's sound. He now manages all of the orders, so when it comes in, he packs them. They're all barcode scanned, so you don't have people like Tommy fucking your order up and you ordering a small and getting something wrong, but obviously some mistakes may still happen with the barcoding. But yeah, we are
big time.
Yeah, we're big time. We couldn't
fucking milk making millions.
We couldn't do it all. I can't do the podcast. I can't do Tommy's vlogs. I can't help Bill. I can't manage every customer and post everything. So someone had to give, and that is that's give. But
it's called 3PL. I didn't even know that's what it was called.
Third party logistics.
So
I still work real closely with Vince. I speak to him every day and, you know, sometimes go there and send stuff. So Billy's got a stack of signed cards to sign. This camera here is actually propped up on them because we haven't got a tripod, but they all go down there as well. So,
and that camera.
Yeah, everything still runs as per.
It's just a free man.
It's just probably smoother, in fact. It's probably a lot smoother and a lot better.
The local post office is a lot friendlier because you're not turning up and taking an hour of the time every morning to scan everything in.
The post office was getting annoyed at me, especially at Christmas time. Just before Christmas. When we drop your merch actually, let's go there. You nearly crashed the website.
Well done, everybody.
5,000 people.
Everything's restocked. If you did miss out, this is the one and only chance to have a restock. There will be new designs coming in the next couple of months, but once this first lot sold out, it's never coming back.
Are you bombing it off after?
Yeah, we're getting
new now.
What's the word?
Limited edition.
Yeah, limited edition, got Supreme vibes on the go. Soon there's going to be people making robots to get onto your site for launch date.
That's what I do with Kex. These two in the background, they're gone. They're done. Never coming back.
OG, this one, isn't it?
This one's OG. This is day one, and this is...
My Pink Panther still in action. Well, I think I've got a couple of Pink Panthers that are still in action.
Yeah, they're a good pair then. They were hot sellers.
The Panther. The Panthers went well. Well, there's about 9 different colours sprung from it, so you can tell how well it does Edward.
There's some...
Every reorder, we'll just tweak this colour and have another one out of this pattern.
I did 3 of them, and I was going to finish it, done. And then I said, maybe I'll do another. And
what
then
was the first? Pink, yellow?
Pink, yellow, and orange.
Yellow and blue, and then the orange one.
Yeah.
Okay, the orange one I was calling yellow.
There's a new one that I've just designed that is now getting put into production, so it might be in mid-April time, maybe. It's called Trippy Panther.
Trippy, oh.
If you can admit, that's right up your alley, isn't it?
It sounds like it is. Maybe they have a full set of kit made out of Trippy Panther.
There's also 2 new Billy Bolt styles, because the last one sold out really well. Again, sorry we don't remake them. And there is a Ride Nutrition pair.
Ride Nutrition pair is coming. Ride Nutrition is going very well.
How is that? How's Ride Nutrition going?
It's going very well. I would like to thank anyone that's listening to this that's supported that so far. It's still only available to buy in the UK, I'm afraid. But I do think if you do want to buy it from overseas, there is like them letterbox sites. I'm not entirely sure the name. If you really want it, I'm sure there's a way you can find it. Because I know people buy stuff from America. You basically get it sent to a PO box, and then someone from this country sends it to you. I don't know what they're called. But anyway, it's still only available. We are working on export. We've had a few quotes from export people and stuff like that. We're trying to get it out there. With it being like a food nutritional supplement, there's more hoops to jump through than just underpants because of ingredients and bits and bobs and stuff like that.
I'm gonna disagree. You wouldn't believe how much finer details and ag there is to selling a pair of pants.
Well, I'm not denying that.
I can imagine
there's more.
Food. Yeah, food.
There's more. You don't have to translate the ingredients of what's on your underpants to every country you're potentially going to sell in, and put it on the packaging.
No, you're right. I don't have to do that.
And everyone just wants a fortune to do that job. So we're working on it now. Obviously, it's still pretty infantile stages, but we're working on that, and we're working on a new product. We've just started getting samples for like a. I'll just blow all of the news out the water. I'm not keeping off. See, we're working on some samples for like a during the race drink. So what you would put in your Camelback or like your water bottle if you want.
Because currently the one now is
it's like a pre-drink. It's like a pre-drink, or like you can load it within like a couple of days before. So basically, if you load it with a couple of days prior to competition or your big run or whatever it might be, that's obviously going to increase the amount of oxygen in your body, to put it very simply and probably unscientifically. But that's basically what it does. So we're working on one, just got some samples and sampling some flavours and stuff like that for a during exercise drink, which we're hoping by the summer that should be ready. I think we're going to bring 3 flavours of that out, because obviously the one now is obviously a nitrate/beetroot supplement. I think it tastes pretty good. Compared to the other competitions, it tastes 100 times better. That really doesn't require any other flavors, but obviously when it's a during activity drink, you're probably going to be sipping it over the space of a couple of hours, so you kind of, there's a little bit more you can have a little bit more preference as to what flavor you want. So we're just started in the early process of sampling some flavors for the next drink, but it's good. Like I say, it's kind of no one's main focus or priority, so it does, things happen a little bit more slowly. We've all kind of got other things that are slightly more important at this stage, but any growth it does get is nice. And I do notice the orders have kind of picked up over the last couple of months. It's gone from being like every other day we get a few orders to kind of like at least every day. I guess people are probably finishing the first bag and have enjoyed it and starting to make some repurchases and stuff like that, we've noticed. So
that's a business that's with 2 other friends? 3?
Yeah, 2 other friends. So basically, I've always been kind of a big believer of nitrate in beetroot. I did some research a good few years ago now.
I remember Johnny telling me about it years ago.
Yeah, John, everyone kind of, I think, has been
anyone that looks at the research would agree, like, oh, that's worthwhile doing for what it is. And so I've always kind of been a mover. Like, I would, if I'd forget to buy drinks or whatever, I'd be like, I'd get to an indoor and I'd head to the supermarket and I'd literally just go and buy a jar of beetroot, just because I felt like it had benefits. So one of my friends was at uni and he did a lot of research about it and did sports science at uni. So he's like the brains and the scientist, chemist, whatever you want to call it, behind it, and does all the mixing portions and all that kind of shit. And he brought it up to us one day and was like, oh, what do you think about this? I said, oh, 100%, definitely a gap in the market for something that's kind of marketed in what the target audiences were aiming for and stuff like that. I don't think anybody really maximizes how useful them kind of products are. If you want to add 100%, I'd be keen on getting involved, and thought it was a good little business opportunity, nice, to something to put a bit of effort in towards and stuff like that. And then just another one of our like friendship group who rides bikes and stuff like that. And he was didn't know too much about it previously, but was also pretty interested in doing something in getting involved. So between the three, we all kind of have our own little areas that we work on and stuff like that, and it's going good. Like I say, for a lot better than I was expecting. You know, it's all early. It's not like we haven't got any outside investment or anything crazy to just start throwing money at people to promote it or whatever. We're just kind of relying on it building itself, and it is. It's grown, and I'm happy with the progress. And
I think sometimes it's better to let it grow slow.
Yeah, cause, I mean, it gets like Kex is a real like loyal customer base, and like wherever we go, like people are you can tell they've supported the brand for a long time since the beginning. Definitely. It's not like you go and pay someone a load of money and then you get a load of followers and traffic of people that don't even know about the brand or where it's come from or whatever. Like, I don't think it does any harm, and it's nice that we're not relying on it, so we can just let it kind of grow organically and naturally, and whatever growth it does get is only an added bonus. But I think when we do get this next product and we've got more than one available, I think we're going to try and give it a real good push and kind of go to that next level and stuff like that. I think when we reorder, we're probably going to do it with a bit higher quantities, which should get slightly better margins, so we can probably go into some shops and stuff like that and dealers, which would be nice. Yeah. Means James is doing all the packaging himself at the minute. He's doing he's on Ed's old fashioned program at this moment in time. But if we can get a few,
we can get him Vince's number.
If we can get a few dealers in and get him into a few shops, he might have a little bit more time on his hands. But it's good. I'm enjoying it. And again, it's like something new, something a little bit different.
Is he queuing up at the post office every morning? Oh no, because he's doing it from work.
Yeah, so I think the post office come and collect from him. Nah, so he's not as much of a slave as you used to be to yourself.
Oof, yeah. I used to have to try and make sure that, because I didn't get it collected, or Kex didn't get collected, I used to have to make sure that all the packaging was done by 8 a.m., 8:30 a.m. so I could get to the post office the sorting office before it shut at 9:30. And I always wanted to try and get customers' products there as quick as possible. So I used to get up at like R5 and start packing orders.
I know.
Graft. No good.
I used to help a lot.
Yeah, you was handy. Tommy, no, not so much.
I wasn't that handy, to be honest. I'd come down about R7 and edit in about 30 and I'd do the last five.
Nah, but you was all right. We did your first batch of merch as well.
Yeah, my first time the merch was up and running, Ed was did all the work behind that, to be honest, of the packing, posting. So if anyone fuck ups, it was all Ed's fault.
We're waiting on Mr. Tommy Sells merch at the minute.
Has he pressed send yet, or is he still going down like this?
No, well, I've set on a graphic designer as well called Ryan Watson.
Oh, I've never heard of him. Where'd you find him?
He's Ben and Nathan's brother, but he's proper. He's real good at what he does. Very slow, but he's very good. but he's doing Tommy's stuff, and he's also going to be doing some stuff for Kex as well. So Tommy will have a line of merch coming out soon, I'm sure.
Very good. There you
go. I'm not looking forward to it, if I'm honest.
Why? Because
you pretty much done yours, and I just done the website bit. Tommy, I know I'm going to have to do it all.
Yeah, 100%. Well, that's why it took so long to do now, because it's just, I want merch, and then someone gives him an idea and he goes, no, I don't like it. At least I come with a sketch, or I actually come with a half attempted Illustrator file for my latest batch, and just get it cleaned up by the professionals. Tommy just goes, oh, I don't know what I want, but I want some merch.
Just I want a 100.
Yeah, get a 100, TS 100.
Talking about merch, if you're a Ben Watson fan, you can grab some
that's
of his
available
as well.
Now, yes, yeah. I see that.
Big shout out for Ben. Ben's sound, he's been wearing Kecks for a while. He's always done me a favour. So if you want Ben Watson merch, I think it's 919 store or BW919 store.
I'm sure
on Ben's
Instagram.
Yeah. So he's got hoodies, all proper quality. He gets them made the same place as I get Kecks clothing made. So it'll be pucker.
Pucker.
It will be.
What else is in your notes?
Well, I've got a few. I did have a few things written down, but we're sort of, I didn't know whether to go on to it first. What I'd written down was South Africa, 3PL shipping, S3 kit, Rockstar, sort of covered all them.
Taking then most of them.
The next one was our Pulp MX Fantasy League that we've got in Supercross.
I've made it into the first page after this weekend's performance. Ed's dropped off the face of the earth. He was shit this weekend.
Yeah, if you play Pulp MX, you can join our league. It's free to join, I think. Well, I think you have to pay to play the game, but it's free to join the league. And the league name is 2Pro.
I think you can play for free. You just don't get entered to win prizes.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, let me check it quickly. So we're 5 rounds in, are we?
6 now. Isn't it?
Is it 6?
I think it's 6. Yeah, because 3...
No, anyway, to join it, you have to type in 2Pro1Slow, but you have to spell 2, T-W-O, not the number, and then, so T-W-O, pro, then number 1, slow. There's 208 players in there at the minute. And
that's also massively impressive, I think, to see, like, we just decided...
I did one story.
We decided the night before the first round, like... We all had one between me and Tommy and the Lowe's brothers. We were in one league anyway. And I was like, oh, quite good for the podcast, this. So we literally made one 5 o'clock the night before the first round, put one Instagram story up saying anyone want to join. 207 members, I think, is a valiant effort. I'm suggesting that for, maybe it's for the outdoors or possibly for next year, we get make like a bit of a thing of it, try and get some sponsors to put some prizes in, put like a buy in, and then get some decent prizes for, I don't know, round winners or overall winners. The finer details can be made out, but I think that would be pretty cool if we get 208 people without even trying, just doing it for the crack. If we're going to put some half decent prizes up for grabs, it'd be, I think it could go down pretty well.
I think as well, if you've already played and you've got points and then you used to join our league, those points carry into the league, so you can join now and still carry on. But
there we go, that's all right then.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Marriott 251's leading at the minute.
The
you're,
people that
you're 47th.
I'm in the first page, top 50. This week is the first week I've made it overall into the top 50.
I had a shocking week last week.
The people that win every week, I look at the score and just go, fucking hell.
I always pick my team and then go bed, and then it's a massive gamble because I'm picking it before practice.
Yeah, I usually try and at least do a practice.
Yeah, I do one practice, but you can get shafted. I got shafted last week.
Like, the LCQ was annoying because if we'd have stayed up till 2, you could have guaranteed no 0. Actually, I don't think I had any 0 points not the LCQ, the Triple Crown, sorry.
I done good there.
Because if you stay up until after practice, you can guarantee all your riders are going to be in the Triple Crown.
In our other league we've got, we play with Sam and Alex Lowe. Sam, on the week that Justin Brayton had got COVID, I said, Brayton's a hot pick for tonight.
No way.
Yeah, and he selected him. Didn't even check, and then zero pointed out. It was a bit nasty, really, but...
That's very nasty. Well, no. You would have done shit from the very start if I hadn't just told you that your first week's team selection...
No.
You hadn't even read the rules.
No, I had read the rules, but I
six out of eight All-Stars.
I'd have scored 26. I'd have got 208 points every week. I've better than last week. I've got 110 or something. It's stupid.
The weeks I've really put thought into it, and I've been looking on people's Instagrams to see if they're injured or whatever, the weeks I've done the worst, to be honest.
Yeah, same.
It's a very... They've designed... You've got to take your hat off to the... There's a lot of thought going into that game, and it's very...
Very good. Very
it gets
impressive.
Gets you gripped.
Very impressive game.
What was next?
Then I wrote on here, but he's not here, so my next note was Tommy's ride day. I think he's planning... I think there's talks of another ride day.
That'd be all right. First time went down well.
I think he would like two. One start of the season, one end of the season.
Just in case the end of the season's not, he's not doing that well, so he's at least got everyone he's met at the start of the season.
Yeah, probably. No, I told you.
That'd be good. No, the first one was a roaring success by all accounts. Not that I like to give him too much credit, but
no, it was. It was good. Good
he
day.
Did, he did very well. He excelled there.
I would say that was one of my highlights of the vlog career last year for Tommy's channel. Good day.
It was a very good day. A lot of people...
I don't know whether I was impressed or that was why it was good, but I was most surprised by how well he'd managed to organise
it. Turned out brilliantly. He had a bit of a queue for signing on at one point.
Yeah.
But no one seemed to care. I thought if I was here, I'd be getting angry at this queue. But he wasn't bothered remotely by the size of the signing on queue. But other than that, I think I'm just being critical. It ran very smoothly for how many people was there as well. Everyone was happy. Sessions were good. DJ Poach was on it. He was spinning the tunes. The food was good. Then burritos. He'd done very good.
Done good. Very impressive.
What's his venues is he thinking of?
I don't know about venues. I mean, obviously Apex was mega. But we filled it, so maybe two. But I think for my opinion is you've got to mix it up and go to different places. He's obviously not going to travel, but...
Well, no, fuck him. He needs to travel to go somewhere a bit more north.
Yeah, one up, one down.
Scottish people might want to come down and then go somewhere far down. Apex, it's southern for most people, but it's still like...
Yeah.
Get one really south and one fairly north.
North and a south.
Yeah, everyone, we'll not let him slack. We'll do our best to get nationwide coverage rather than just within an hour of his house.
He's got a busy year, actually. I mean, the reason we're in this room, actually, is because Tommy was on Gypsy Tales podcast 2 days ago. You was on it yesterday, and we just haven't moved any of the stuff back yet. And also, like I said, we're not going back to the workshop.
Nah, there's no desk in the workshop. We're moving out.
Moving out, yeah. So... bit of a shout out for the Gypsy Tales podcast. If you want to go and listen to Tommy's, that is definitely out now on all podcast platforms, the full 3 hours 10. Imagine he got him to sit here for 3 hours 10.
I'm most impressed. I fully enjoyed my 3 hours. I'd have sat there for another 3. Right, but I needed a stop for a piss. I could have done with a few more refreshments and I'd have sat there for another 3 hours. I'd like the sound of my own voice, don't I?
I made you a cup of tea and then I was going to bring you some biscuits, and then after you'd slap your lips on the donuts 1 week ago, I thought I better not take him any biscuits.
Don't like me eating. I'm vulgar. Mm-hmm. Vulgar, man.
Right. I've got some questions that I've just put on the 2 Pro 1 Slow. In fact, I put questions on two things, actually. I put questions on the 2 Pro 1 Slow Instagram, and then I also put some on the Edub Media YouTube community page.
Edub Media.
Do you want me to read some? Oh, let's read some of them first, because we haven't done them. Here we go. Supercross discussions was a topic which we've sort of done. Well, we did.
Yeah, we did Pulper Mix.
We haven't done.
Everyone's talking about Supercross everywhere now.
Jason Anderson, legend.
Yeah, he's sicko.
Good bloke. Upset that Cooper Webb's not doing well.
Yeah, your man. You're a big Coop man.
Coop man. Yeah, big I'm hoping when we go east, he's gonna.
It's not looking good at the minute, though. Not looking good at all.
No, it
isn't. Two horse race at this moment in time.
What's the SSDT?
Scottish 60s trial. Ed's not big trials. Right, he likes trials, but he's not clued up on its heritage or its.
We would like to see Billy and Ed do the SSDT and do a full blog. Do you think that can be made? No, I'll tell you now, no, because Billy just hates trials bikes, even though that he was born on one. And
I will do the Scottish 60s trial again at some point in my life, 100% guaranteed. I probably will make a vlog of it. I think Ed will probably enjoy it too, to be honest.
Stan reckons he's booked me on an Isle of Man Manx one.
Manx 2 days also. That's more of a piss-up rather than
a
trial.
Yeah, that's what he said.
That's why he likes it, but... no, I will 100% do the Scottish again, and there probably will be a vlog from it. I can't promise it's going to be in the near future. The problem is, it's usually very similar timing to Lagares. However, Lagares isn't in the calendar for next year. Who knows whether it'll be making a return? I don't have any knowledge on that. So if it doesn't, it may leave me a little bit more free, and who knows? But I will 100% at some point make a return to the Scottish. I can't promise I'm going to walk sections and take it seriously, but I'll be there.
Right. This was a question for Tommy, but
the Scott would be better for, well, as this, there's more chance of Ed doesn't know the difference between the Scottish and the Scott, so that shows how his trials what's the word?
I just like trials.
His trials encyclopedia is there's more chance of a return to the Scott in the near future. I'd like to do that again. That's on my bucket list or my to do list before I retire. I need a gold spoon for the Scott trial.
What's your take on pro riders dropping down or across to AMCA instead of racing the British Championship? And also, would Ed consider sponsoring a team in the future of the British Championship? What's your take?
I don't really have much of one.
I think it's your own crack on.
Yeah, I don't see as much difference. Like, it's not like, fair enough, going from the World Championship to the AMCA, but I don't feel like,
there's good riders
in the MCA Championship anyway, from what I know. To be honest, I'm not that clued up on
we'll be there in a few years with Tommy.
I was going to say, we'll be there watching them soon, so we'll know who's there. No, I don't have a problem with it. Crack on. Are you going to sponsor a team?
Well, I'm not going to sponsor a team, no, because I think sponsoring a team is not giving... I think it's good, don't get me wrong, but I don't think it's giving a fair crack of the whip to everyone. So I'm going to push on with the Fastest Lap Awards.
I collected them trophies at the weekend. They're in stock, ready. What championships that for?
Both, MX Nationals and British, I believe, all classes. I can't remember what I've wrote in the email. I think it's all classes. I think there was a bit of a dilemma with girls, but I don't think there's a girls' British championship now.
Oh, really? Well, that's a bit shit. I know much about it, but if
Gareth
there's no...
Hockey put a statement out saying if there wasn't enough riders to make a championship, he wouldn't, and I don't think there was. Don't quote me on it, but I don't think there is one. No, I won't be sponsoring a team, but we'll... You can win keks.
Is there an arch coming for the whole shot?
There's a few things on the cards.
I'm not meant to say that.
No, you can say it. It's not. I don't know whether it's happening yet. We're trying to figure out a way to do a few more things. Fastest Lap Awards, Whole Shot Awards. Whole Shot Awards, I think, is going to be on the burner until next year. And as you'll
obviously,
see...
Obviously, because a Fastest Lap and a Whole Shot's two different things. Yeah. Why even going on?
And as you'll see in our new podcast, when we move studios and everything set up, we're getting some real nice sofas made with... patchwork quilt keks cut all over it. There's three of those going to be at every British Motocross Championship in a bit of a fan zone for you to get photos and sit on and pretend you're on the podcast or whatever else.
Wonderful.
You didn't even know that.
No, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, so I've got to go and pick them up. They're actually finished, but I've just got to go and pick them up.
Great stuff.
Colin Storrock wants to know about your 610 and any update.
No, we were just talking about that. I'll be honest, it hasn't been touched by myself since we did that video. I did get a couple of inquiries about people wanting to do it up for us. I obviously ignored you at the time. I didn't respond because I'm a useless fucking twat. If anyone is interested in doing it, please get in touch with Ed, and then Ed will forward it on to me as a matter of urgency.
The best way to get in touch is go on to kexunderwear.com, go into the contact page and fill out that form with the subject 610.
Okay, that's the best way to do it. I don't intend to not reply. What I usually do is I read the message and go, oh, that sounds fucking mint. Get distracted. Go back on and the message is gone. It's not, it's gone too far down. And then I forgot it's there. It's not on the top of my memory. And then about a week later, I go, oh, fuck, some guy messages about the 610. And then I feel really bad, and then I almost feel too guilty to then apply like a week later. So I would like someone to do it up. I would like it to be put in a safe, rideable condition, because I'd actually like to do some races on it. I don't want it to be mint.
Up's the wrong word. Just make it
safe.
Yeah,
I just want it safe, really. New chain sprockets, maybe the engine looked at, just to make sure that's not going to nip up. Wheels, just so it's safe to just scrag all over the place. And I'd like to do a race on it. I don't want it like mint with titanium and all new plastics or any, all of that shite. I just want it to be able to just hold it flat out.
Yeah, it's currently just leaking fork oil all over the thing. Every day I wipe it up, fork oil on the floor, more.
Oh, that's good. Not really that related, but I went to the KTM Museum last weekend. There's a vlog coming at some point this week from a little tour that I had, first time I'd been. All them bikes in the KTM Museum had oil in and were ready to start. There was a few leakages there.
Ready to start?
Well, like, they were had oil in like...
Oh, they're runners.
Ready to runners, all of them.
Well, fuel, obviously not fuel.
No, well, I don't have full tanks, but like, there was like, as you walk around, like the tour was, we've got another leaker here, and they all, well, not all of them, but it was a couple of little.
Was your world championship bike there?
No, it was there. It was in the secret storage underground bit where
Is it still hanging and got a burnt out tire on it?
No, that bike also, this thing has still got a burnt out tire. That bike's in Italy. That's ready to come home.
Have you won that bike?
Yeah, I've got that bike.
Oh, man.
That's going to join the Super Enduro bike. But there was... Oh, no, there wasn't one from last year there. There was a 2018 WES Championship bike, and there was my Beach Race, also 2018 bike. But that was in the secret underground storage bit, there's some pretty cool bikes in there, which was where they keep like the stock where they're going to rotate and keep the museum fresh. But I got to see it all, and there was like some.
Did you get the camera in there?
No, that was the only bit I wasn't allowed to video, because obviously that's not available to the public, and they don't want to just give away what's coming. And there was a few of this year's MotoGP bikes in there. That just came back from having the engine sealed and stuff like that. There was some cool shit. There was a Zach Osborne Factory 85 in there.
Can you pay to go there?
Yeah, no, the museum's open. It opened like 2 years ago. For some reason, I just hadn't been to Austria since it opened. So if anyone's ever been to the factory, have you ever been to the factory?
No, never been.
So
I'm good friends with Tim from Redline KTM. He goes loads of times, and he took people, and I was supposed to go, but didn't.
So, like, the factory is basically made up of, probably 5 or 6 big buildings that kind of took over this town, like Mundafin and Matikofen, which is, like, where the main factory is. So, like, you have the main production line area and stuff like that, and a couple of smaller factories nearby, and then about 100 metres up the road, they've now built this motor hall, which is kind of in the city, so it's quite cool. There's, like, restaurants and cafes kind of around it, or in the town, that's what I'd call it. This cool, mad-looking, modern building, like 3 floors of kind of all sorts. And it was actually really interesting. It's all KTM, which is a shame. I was pushing...
Oh, there's no Husqvarna in there?
No, it's just KTM at the moment. I prodded them. I said, where's the Husqvarna corner? And I said, oh, if we win a few more championships, maybe we can have one.
I thought they'd have all 3 models in there.
Nah, it's all still... Well, that part in Austria, it's all still pretty orange, but... No, it wasn't a no when I said we need some more Husqvarna in there.
You've had a lot of, it's not a no lately, haven't you?
Yeah, not, it's not a no, so that's all we need to talk about on that front. It was cool. I actually thoroughly enjoyed it. You can pay, I think it's open most days of the week or whatever. I don't know whether I don't know if they do tours around the production area and stuff like that or whatever. The whole place is cool. I took... it was Roxy's first time there, so we had like a full tour of like the motorsport buildings and stuff like that. And there's a new building called House of the Brands, which is where they do the marketing for all of the companies, which is a really cool building. Had a meeting about the Husky Vlogs, and
what's happening?
They're happy. Well, I'm the only rider in the team this year. If I don't know if that's well, it's out there now anyway. So we're just going to do vlogs on my channel with Husky's support. They're going to help a little bit, and a few little ideas, some bit more brand placement and stuff, but to be on my channel, because there's no point kind of making my own vlog and then a team vlog, which is only me and the team. So
So you're going to get all the race footage on your...
Yeah, so the race footage will be for my vlog. So hopefully from each race, we're going to have like a real crispy, nice vlog.
I look forward to watching that.
All of the outdoor races this year. But it's super cool. Like, it's nice that they're so on board, to be honest. I think they're seeing that there's enough time in the day to still win the race and fuck about for 10 minutes with the camera. So they're supportive of that.
Talking of vlogs, Kieran_43 has asked for a decent camera to start vlogging. You're having great debates with your cameras again, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I bought Roxy Sony SV1 just before Christmas. I thought to use, well, it, for how small it is and stuff, it's literally can go, it's pocket size, goes in your pocket. I thought for when walking around at races or whatever, that's nice to have. It's got zoom, it's got a directional built-in mic, it's got if you get the tripod with it, it's got like a record start and stop button and zoom from the tripod. I was very, very impressed, to be honest. And then literally took it to the track one day in South Africa, just put it on auto, and was riding around, and I couldn't believe how good the footage was, just for how small it was. Its price is pretty reasonable as well. I think it's like £700, including the tripod. It might be £800, including the tripod, £700 without. And for the price and stuff like that, I think that's a pretty good starting point. It's like point and shoot. So it doesn't have interchangeable lenses or anything, but I think the zoom is like 16 to 50 or something like that, 16 to 55 maybe.
Yeah, I was impressed with it. I would consider, for this podcast, we use Sony A6400s, which I can't work a Sony camera to save my life because I've always had a Canon. But if I was to give you any advice, Kieran, I would say audio is just as important as the picture. So. Yeah. GoPro's brilliant for being on a bike, on board, no good for vlogging. And if you're going to buy a camera, just buy a mic for it, a Rode directional mic, any sort of microphone, because if you can't hear it, it's really hard to watch. Same as this podcast. If the audio quality is shit on any podcast, no matter who's on it, I just want to turn it off.
Yeah, audio is very important for retaining people's attention. But at the end of the day, you don't need anything too amazing. Like, your phone does a pretty good picture.
Your phone does a pretty good plug-in mic.
I was going to say, if your phone with a microphone, because phone mics are very hit and miss. Sometimes they work amazing and they pick up what you... Because they pick up... if they think it's the intended sound, that's what they'll pick up. And sometimes it's perfect and it is your voice, and sometimes it's fucking God knows what. So that Sony SV1 is pretty good. Ed uses the Sony... A6400, is it?
Here, yeah, and then
for these,
and then my proper camera for Tommy's vlogs and anything Kex related is a Canon R5, which is overkill.
I was gonna say, if you've got a fair bit of Christmas money saved up, still left over,
it's well overkill.
It's more than you'd ever need. Like, everyone keeps telling us, well, not everyone, but we've had a few comments saying uploading 4K or whatever.
The only reason I bought that Canon R5 was because a year and a half ago, me and Bill did a video for, I guess, Moto Co. Revolutions. It's on Billy's channel, and they requested 4K 120, and that was the camera of choice at the time that worked with my lenses. But yeah.
My main camera is a Fujifilm X-T4, which I think is a very good camera. Huh?
This week.
No, it's. It's the camera I wanted for a while, and then I eventually got it, and then I really like the camera. I rate the camera. I rate Fujifilm. I fell out of love with it a little bit when I seen how good the Sony was, this point and shoot one that I'd got. So then I was leaning towards this Sony A7. Well, there's an A7 IV out now, but that's also overkill for YouTube. But don't know. It's just, I might either go for a new lens for the Fuji, or might just go for the Sony, either A7C or an A7 IV. Not that everyone's probably switched off because they're 4-foot cameras.
Yeah.
Was that for? Kieran. I hope you listen to that, Kieran.
Well, hopefully Kieran's going to be a sick vlogger next week.
Yeah. Let me know if you're a vlogger, Kieran. Comment on a video. Give us a link to your channel or whatever.
Have a watch.
I think articulating screen is also quite important.
Yeah, we've got these Sony's are do some research, basically.
The SV1 flips out from the side.
Something with a screen so you can see. So
my first camera didn't have a screen, and at the time I didn't think it was important. But just to make sure you're in focus or stuff, I think I use the screen a lot more since I had an articulating screen.
Yeah. Someone's wrote here, what is your opinion of Tommy's vlogs and his enduro career?
My opinion?
Yeah.
They're good. I watch any kind of vlogs, to be honest. I watch everyone. I'm a fan of everyone's, to be honest. I'm a fan of Jake's vlogs. I'm a fan of Tommy's vlogs.
Yeah, Jake Nichols has started. He's gone from being a non-vlogger.
I thought they were a bit shit at first because he always used to just pretend he didn't care whatsoever. And then I thought, well, Xcast's trying really hard to make a video and he's just not hard. But now he's actually puts effort into them and talks. I actually really enjoyed his last few ones. I think Jake's are good. Tommy's are good.
He's been up to mine a few times. We're supposed to get him on this podcast, but...
I actually think he'd be quite good. I think once he loosens into the podcast, I think he'd be quite good. Because he's done a fair bit.
I find that the bit I've spoke to him about off camera and off topic of motocross is what he's doing at work now with... that's well interesting. That's more interesting than motocross to me.
Really?
Yeah, sick. Like what he's up to. He's fucking mad.
Oh, well, that'd be definitely a cool guest. We're all going to try and have more guests, which work out quite good. Like if Tommy's away, we can get a guest in, or if I'm away, we can still get a guest in, and then focus more on the guest rather than in the past when we've had guests, we've kind of done the usual show just with a guest included, whereas I think we will go into a bit more detail from the guests and stuff like that. That's one of the things that we're planning on doing for this year.
The podcast is changing all over the place, really. We're like I say, moving everything. We've worked out how to do Gypsy Tales. He was obviously in Bali or Australia at the time, so there's no real excuses now. We can get Bill on when he's in Spain or wherever.
Hotel room we might be in or whatever.
We'll have to buy him another mic and some form of recorder, but you'll be right, won't you?
Yeah, and that could actually be quite good if we're at a race or whatever. I could drag a guest in via the race from the hotel room and so the people can ask a few questions or whatever, give them a bit of insight.
I agree.
Be quite good.
You didn't answer the end part of that question. What do you think of his enduro career? Stopped, actually.
I'm yet to see it resume, actually, since he's... crushing victory over me at Tong around the enduro cross track.
Can't you remember what he said last night on the phone?
What was his exact words again?
The bars are twisted, so much wrong.
I've
got to fucking sell it.
I've got to sell it. I'll get a new bike.
He doesn't like his bike
anymore. He's fell out of love with his bike. But no, we went to Wales that day for the Christmas special, which I couldn't be asked to be involved with, but it was a nice day out in the end. I still had a sore elbow that day. I still had stitches in my elbow, actually, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Do you know what someone was on about the other day when we went to Wales and I cut my hand? Remember that time?
Yeah, that was...
Taylor was on about it. I was on Taylor McKenzie's YouTube. Neil was on about it to Taylor.
But you weren't... He didn't come that day, did he?
No, but Neil was there with Alex.
Ah, Neil Hodgson. Did you see Neil Hodgson out in Spain then?
No.
Oh, he told Taylor.
He was telling Taylor.
Oh, right.
And I can't remember how that topic came up. But anyway, that reminded us of that first day when I cut my hand. And that was the week before that, me and Tommy went to race the motocross race at Avrig when I had a faster lap time than him.
Yeah, you did. You sliced your hand on like a real...
No, I think someone crashed and I was parked my bike. Well, I was going back to help them. And I lost my front as I was trying to stop.
Yeah, it was a real nothing crash.
No, it was like nothing. I like lost the front as I was going to stop, put my hand out on some like a real slaty, horrible ground, and the scar's still there. Look.
Oh yeah, it's pretty good.
There we go. That was that. Not that any of yous cared about that one. If anyone's still watching, thanks a lot.
It's a bit of a all over podcast again, isn't it?
I think it's all right. We've hit an hour.
Yeah, well, I thought
entertain people's journeys. Let us know if you're listening to it in the car.
I thought what we needed to do was get something.
Yeah, I fully agree. No, it's been good. Let them know what's coming. New studio. We had a little test running, not in the right seats, but just for placement and stuff. I think it's going to be really, really cool setup.
That's the plan. Make it cooler. I haven't sorted it yet, but I'm trying to bring on another editor as well to edit the podcasts.
Fucking hell.
And edit
I didn't know
segments
that.
And edit more stuff for the Instagram.
Fucking hell.
reinvesting bill.
Big time. All we do is reinvest.
This is the
lucky
this
we
is
can afford to eat the amount of reinvestment we've been doing here.
Well, if they keep buying all your merchandise, you can afford to eat.
Just only just. I'm about to reinvest in another order of the finest garments available for them. That's actually on our to-do list today. Actually, I've got a few more drafted up designs that Ed needs to tidy up, ready for some sampling.
Well, we've filled our day. Even though our day's been cancelled, we've filled our day.
Yes, the day has been cancelled.
Right.
Still fucking raining outside.
I'm going to get you one last question to sign off our quick hour, just to update everyone else and that. Shall I do a random?
Yeah, do a random.
I'll do a random. This one here. What's red and slow?
No way.
Yeah, I swear. I swear.
Tommy's Honda.
That's brilliant.
Oh, that is brilliant. That's an OG joke. That was some.
Yeah.
When I was in Dubai.
That's mint. I'll do one more. I like the random scroll already. That one. Are you going to get a Paul Cooper replica Husqvarna CR250 and race the VMX DN? It's a good question.
I have no idea, to be quite honest with you. Do you know what date it is?
I should do, because what banged on about it.
You talked on about it for about 2 hours.
I think it's either the first bank holiday in August or the last. Or is there two? I don't know. Bank holiday in August.
I think I'm in America for majority of August, because we have, we have Romaniacs, and then there's another race in South America the next weekend.
Is
then,
Tennessee Knockout?
Then TKO,
oh.
Then a weekend off, and then Canada.
Oh, you're busy.
So I think August, but then September.
That's how we should end it, right then. So give us a quick rundown of what you've got coming up, what races are what, and then give us your real quick
going
fire.
To do, well, tomorrow I'm going to wake up about 7:30, have a coffee, probably a bagel for breakfast.
Sound like Tommy.
No, so next week, not next week, first weekend, it's not even a weekend because in Israel it's a Thursday night, 3rd of March, next Super Enduro. Then come home, back for a couple of weeks, 19th, 20th of March, last two rounds of Super Enduro, double header in Germany, final weekend, Super Enduro Championship finished for the year. Then first weekend of April, I do believe, beginning of April, minus 400.
Quick turnaround then.
Yeah, fast turnaround. Well, the first race is very early for some reason. It's in Israel, so I'm guessing for the heat.
Right.
First two races in Israel coming up very soon. So then, in Super Enduro finishes, first outdoor race is in Israel, also at the beginning of April. Then there's like 6 weeks until Serbia, which is a new race, which I'm actually quite looking forward to. I've seen some videos of that place, and it looks sick. So second round is in Serbia, and then it's, I think, Erzberg, and then Aberstone, and then Romania. By that point, winter's summer, and back to normal. But over the next couple of weeks, I'm back to Spain at the weekend. Week about 10 days of riding before the next Super Enduro round, and then I'll probably stay in Spain / Andorra in between then in Germany, just kind of focusing on Super Enduro, hopefully getting the job done there. So far so good. And then probably come back. Then we'll probably start doing quite a bit of testing for. I've rode a two-stroke only a couple of times since Getzen, so once Super Enduro is finished, get back on two-stroke, get some testing done, and get set up for the outdoor races, for the real work to start.
Right.
We're just messing about so far. Indoors just feel like messing about compared to outdoors.
You like an indoor?
Yeah, I like it, and I like the setup. I like being out in Spain and just at the Super Enduro
track. You got a lot of reshares of your hot lap in the last round.
Yeah, and it wasn't even, well, it was good, obviously. I'm not saying it wasn't good. But
I know you were pissed off at that lap.
Yeah, because I made a few mistakes. I didn't step on, step off, and then even the rock corner wasn't great. And then I didn't stay in a straight line through the matrix, but then the second half of the lap was okay. But it wasn't brilliant. I didn't feel good at any point.
I think Zach Osborne and Dean both shared it and said it blew their mind.
Yeah, I'm not. It was still good. Don't get us wrong. I think what was really good was that tight rock corner on the inside line where it was like, that was pretty good. But it's good. Just the whole Super Enduro, like, I proper enjoy, you know, like, it's like a late afternoon ride, because the tracks are usually either frozen or like a lot of condensation in the morning still, so you only start riding at like 1. So you're like, you just lazy morning, have a stroll.
It's the perfect sport for you.
Have a lazy morning, have a stroll for some coffee, go and load the van up, stop and have some like a late breakfast / lunch on the way to the track, turn up at the track and then check your spokes and prep your bike for the next day. By this time it's like one, do a few motos, have a stop and have some food, do a few more motos, and then it's like the sun's set, just about to set, and then you start doing some stupid stuff for Instagram for the last hour before the sun goes down, and then straight to the restaurant for some food and then home in bed.
Bit of you.
This time of year is just perfect vibes.
Right, well, thanks for listening, I guess. Thanks for watching.
Yeah, thanks for everybody. Nice to be back.
Hopefully next time, all three of us will be here and we'll be in the new studio.
New studio coming soon. Buy merch, is full restock. This is your last chance to get the current stock. If it sells out,
Are the hats all going to go? Changing everything? You're not keeping any OG products?
Maybe it's hats, but T-shirts and hoodies and hat accessories will probably stay the same. Maybe bring out a new colour. No, I've got a new design of hat that I want to do, actually.
All
right. I'm not telling you anymore. But it's fact, it's been a while off. There's no point waiting for the new stuff. You might as well go and buy the stuff that's out now.
Oh, God.
All right. Anyway, thanks for the love.
Nice one, guys. Catch you soon.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.